The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
Our next guest this morning is one of the leading lights in Ireland's tech sector. She heads up LinkedIn here in Ireland, employing over 1,000 people. Sharon McCooey, who is originally from County Monaghan, was the second employee of the company here. Sharon joins me now. Sharon, you've worked for 5 US multinationals. What prompts you to seek out new challenges?
So I just love change, Anya. I love meeting new people. I love the diversity you find in US tech companies. I love travel. And I like all of the things that lots of people don't like in their jobs. So, yeah.
What are those things?
Travel, the idea of getting on a plane tomorrow morning, Sunday, all of those things. I just love the opportunity to get to San Francisco this coming week. Love the fact that I work with 58 nationalities in our office in Dublin. Those are the things I love, and I enjoy the challenge and I enjoy innovation in tech.
And stepping back a little bit, you're clearly somebody who's incredibly passionate about technology and business. Where does that come from? Was that part of the household upbringing in Monaghan?
It was. I brought up in a family with two working parents. My mother was and is a nurse, and my father had a number of businesses in Castle Blaney and Monaghan, where I'm from, and that was part of the dinner table conversation. I suppose two things came across there. It was work ethic, very much a very strong work ethic. And the second thing was around, I suppose, relationships and being part of having lifelong customers, one of whom are patients in the hospital, and two are the customers of my father's various businesses.
And what were those businesses?
So my dad had a dance hall in Donegal, and he had a number of garages in Monaghan, and today he has a farm.
Were the dance halls around when you were still young?
Oh, they were, absolutely. We went on our summer holidays to Donegal, and we would be given the job of picking up bottles the morning after the dances from the night before. Yeah, loved the dance halls.
And were you on the dance floor yourself, or very much there just to simply help out on the night?
We were definitely on the helping out on the night and helping out the day after, rather than being on the dance floor.
And do you have a reputation now at weddings and the likes for being first out?
Definitely not. I think my mother and father are fabulous dancers, but I have not inherited that gene.
You haven't got the jiving skills.
No, I'm afraid not.
And what about other influences growing up? School, teachers that had an impact on you?
So I would probably cite Mr. Brophy from the secondary school in Castle Blaney.
Our Lady Secondary School.
I believe you also went there. So Mr. Brophy and Mrs. Brophy. Mr. Brophy taught us computers, and we also had a fantastic show each week where we talked about school life, used computers, editing, graphics, etc. in the mid-80s, which was fantastic. So I would cite him as my influence in regard to technology, and his wife, Mrs. Brophy, for all things accounting and economics. And economics was my favourite subject.
So that's where the seeds were sown.
That's where the seeds were sown.
Speaking of mentors, how important is it to you to mentor other people?
Yeah, so a couple of things there. I have about 10 mentees, and I was actually talking recently that originally, a couple of years ago, I realised that all of my mentees were men. And so I had to reflect on myself, and was that something I was doing myself? How was I showing up? And so now I very purposefully have went to ladies, tried to understand why they hadn't asked for a mentor, etc. And I realised that that it was some things that they were hadn't the confidence to ask for a mentor. So I've now very purposely made sure that I have 50% men, 50% women. I have 10 mentees right now, and I encourage mentoring, but also a bit of reverse mentoring. So I now find that I learn as much from my mentees as my mentees learn from me.
So what have you learned from them?
So a couple of things. I've learned about listening. I've learned about them and what makes them tick. I've learned about new technologies that I may not have used myself, etc. So I definitely find that the reverse mentoring, and also when I take on a new challenge at work or a new team or a new department or some new challenge. For example, right now we're looking at a Latin American opening strategy. You know, I ask for people who come from Latin America to help me educate on that particular part of the world.
So give me a little teaser of some of your top 2-3 themes when it comes to mentorship. What's the type of advice you tend to give people?
So put yourself forward for opportunities. People tend to read a job spec and say, oh, I've only 9 out of the 10 pieces of experience. I say, take a chance, take a risk, bet on yourself. You're much better than you think you are. I would say that's the first thing. I would say the second thing is, you know, take those intelligent risks in terms of taking those additional opportunities or move role. If you started in HR, you know, why don't you look at sales? If you started in finance, why don't you look at marketing? So some of those more transformational risks and intelligent risks. And then I also encourage people to take time as well for family and for other activities outside of work.
And in terms of the year that's been for technology and platforms, there's been something of a backlash. When you reflect on the rapid change, how things have evolved, are you learning from the unintended consequences of maybe some of your competitors and other networks and platforms out there? And what are those learnings?
So LinkedIn, we've always put the member first. We have always had a situation where we engineered for trust. And we believe that that's something that we have.
And what do you mean by that phrase, engineered for trust? What does that look like?
So, for example, we have always had settings and opt-out clauses rather than opt-in. We have always, in terms of hoped to provide enough information at the time of the setup of the and when each of the members are doing something or making a change, that we provide information to them at that point in time, in terms of things like surfacing ads to them. We look to make sure that they are appropriate for the member. We also, in terms of trust and safety, when you're connecting with individuals, making sure that everyone that you connect with are trusted individuals that you know. So we encourage you to connect with only people that you know. We actively discourage you from connecting with people that you don't know and have not met and don't intend to have an ongoing relationship with.
There's a general consensus emerging, though, that the advertising model is broken. How is the likes of LinkedIn going to diversify? How do you see future revenue models where we're not just monetizing for people's engagement on their networks?
Most of LinkedIn's revenues have always come from non-advertising revenue. So advertising has been our fourth out of fifth out of our five lines of business. So we monetize using it. We have a recruiter product to help people get jobs. We have a LinkedIn Learning application, which have tens of thousands of courses online in terms of helping people from a lifelong learning perspective. So our lines of business and our how we make money has always been in the non-advertising end of from a, because that's, we would have believed that was always a members first ethos.
There's a lot of talk of regulating the technology companies in the US and here in Europe. Is that something you'd embrace?
Definitely. We have embraced from everything from a GDPR perspective. We work with the regulator in Ireland, and that is something that we fully embrace and have a very good two-way relationship with the regulator in terms of when we talk about engineering for trust. We talk about even consulting, understanding the GDPR, when we're looking at engineering new features, consulting with the regulator, etc. So 100% agree with all of that.
And how do you think other tech companies in Ireland are performing when it comes to optimising for trust, engineering for trust? How do you think others are going to potentially embrace regulation here in Ireland?
So I definitely think that there's change on the way, but I definitely think from LinkedIn's perspective, that's something we have has been part of the bedrock of the company. We just had our 16th birthday as a company and a platform. We've 630 million members, and continue to add people on a regular basis. So I think from LinkedIn's perspective, that's we will continue to put that at like the member first at our heart.
In terms of stepping back for a little bit, we have a diversity problem in technology. How do you think about that? Where do you think the responsibility of government is when it comes to women and STEM?
So at LinkedIn, we have 50% of our workforce is female and 50% of our workforce is male. I mentioned we have 58 nationalities and we have numbers of resource groups. So in terms of, so I think of diversity, not just in gender, but across all the communities. Definitely something that we work on and we work on every day. Definitely something that as a society we need to fully agree that it's something that we need to continue. We've made strides, but we definitely need to continue to make strides on. And it's something that's a journey that'll ever be finished, but it's definitely something we've made some inroads on.
Sharon McCooey, Senior Director of International Operations and Head of LinkedIn Ireland, thank you so much.
Thank you, Anya.